The NC ArtsCast is made possible in part by a grant from the Orange County Arts Commission and distributed in partnership with the Arts Center in Carrboro. Welcome to the NC ArtsCast, a new podcast covering issues of placemaking, identity, public art, and arts policy in the Tar Heel State. I'm your host, Jenks Miller. Among other issues, we'll be taking a look at the way arts organizations interact with private businesses and regional artists to foster local identities, provide community services, and encourage economic investment. Much of our focus will remain here in Orange County, where a relatively new coordinator of the Orange County Arts Commission, Katie Murray, has begun to implement her vision for the county's arts infrastructure. In our first series, we'll get to know Katie Murray, starting with her previous position as Executive Director of the Arts of the Albemarle in Elizabeth City, where she supervised day-to-day operations of the Regional Arts Council and Cultural Arts Center. I visited the Orange County Arts Commission in Hillsboro to talk with Katie about how she got her start at Arts of the Albemarle.
I had recently started my own graphic design and social media management business, and Arts of the Albemarle was one of my clients. And I got to know my predecessor there pretty well. And she decided to resign and had said, you know, you would be really good at this. And I agreed to be the interim for 3 months while they found their new director. It was probably like a month in that I realized that I had found what it is I'm supposed to do with my life, because I've had, I have an arts background, visual arts and performing arts, but, you know, I'm never going to be a professional artist, and I'm obviously never going to be in a, you know, ballet company ever again, but I'm good at organizing, and I'm good at promoting, and I'm good at problem solving. And so it was like I finally paired up what I'm good at with what I'm passionate about.
The fact that Katie is passionate about her work doesn't surprise me. Most of the individuals I've met in the arts ecosystem are passionate and engaged. One of the goals of this podcast is to examine how an individual creative passion like that connects with larger economic structures. This means we have to look at local economies and the role the arts may or may not play in shaping or reshaping them. I thought Katie's experience in Elizabeth City might be illuminating.
Can we talk a little bit about what Elizabeth City's economy looks like as a whole?
My husband worked for Feeding America, the national, you know, organization, and he worked for the local food bank that served 21 counties. And so every year Feeding America does a food insecurity assessment of the country, ranking communities based on their food insecurity. And so the first year we were there, which I think was 2010, Northeast North Carolina was second only to the Bronx in terms of food insecurity. It's like the forgotten land of the state, really. So it's a constant struggle. I mean, the reality is that a lot of times your more affluent people are who flock towards the arts. So in the case of like my organization, there was a good segment of people that supported us who had the resources to do so. Whereas I know with a lot of other organizations, that's not the case because they didn't have access like we did.
Is Elizabeth City a tourist destination?
Somewhat. I'm sure some people would say yes. I mean, having lived in Wilmington, you know, that gave me a lot of perspective from a true, you know, coastal tourist stop. Elizabeth City is kind of hard to access. A lot of people that know of it because they've gone there on the way to the Outer Banks.
Right.
But I don't know. Although it always amazes me here when I tell people where I moved from, they're like, oh, yeah, I know, you know. So they're figuring it out. Their downtown is slowly kind of filling back up. You know, it's reminiscent of the other Eastern North Carolina towns like Wilson and Kinston. And, you know, at one point were thriving and now we're kind of building that back up, and largely in part because of the arts.
Do you get the sense that Arts of the Albemarle was created out of a need for an economic driver downtown or something like that?
I don't know if that was the end goal. You know, I don't know if the creation of art centers are necessarily ever with the sole purpose of being an economic driver. Usually that comes along with the territory.
Right.
But the initial desire or need mm-hmm. is because the community, you know, wants a place to have access. And that's what happened there. You know, that they had the Pasquotank County Arts Council, which had outgrown its space. There was a pretty active community theater group that needed a home. The community basically rallied around one of the old vaudeville theaters in their downtown that was going to be leveled and turned into a parking lot.
That's the Lowry Chesson building?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And, you know, those old theaters are all over the place in the eastern part of the state. And the communities that are really active in the arts have restored them into art centers. And so this little community raised almost $4 million to restore the building and turn it into an art center. And they did a wonderful job. I mean, it's the first floor is gallery space, second and third are theater space and meeting space. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen pictures online.
It really is. It's phenomenal. And the funny thing is, when I got here, you know, I was expecting art centers like that all over the place here. And at least in Orange County, that's not the case at all. So I knew it was that we were really lucky to have that, but I didn't realize how lucky until I got here and was like, wow, they have that in the most impoverished part of our state. The not so great was there wasn't a lot of planning on how to sustain it. You know, they raised the money to build it, and they did, but then how do you sustain it? My philosophy, which, you know, some people would disagree with, was to just constantly have things going on. My philosophy was, if you always have things going on, you always have money coming in. We started just trying all kinds of new things.
When you say constantly have things going on, do you mean performances?
Everything. Performances, classes, events.
Events that weren't necessarily arts related?
Yeah, like I started a beer festival, you know, because we needed a fundraiser, and I'd done a beer festival that was really successful in Wilmington, and I had the formula down pat, and Elizabeth City's a big beer town. It's the largest Coast Guard air station base in the country. So you've got a lot of people there that, you know, are into good beer, into good food. And so it just made sense, and it worked really well. The event's, you know, still going on and growing every year.
The beer festival is?
Yeah. You know, we just tried all kinds of different things, and some of them stuck and some of them didn't. But the community was open, you know, to new stuff. I mean, it's a really interesting community there because you've got people from all over the place. And I think because so many members of the community contributed to making Arts of the Albemarle what it is, they feel invested in it. And it's just a creative community anyway. There's so many artists there and lots of performers. And I think also because it is such a artsy community that people that might not otherwise feel comfortable kind of putting themselves out there do in that town. Like everybody's in like the community theater or in a band, or like everybody from the main, you know, realtors in town and bankers to, you know, your more classical performers. So,
in your opinion, what makes it so feel so accessible for people?
I don't know, because I mean that was there long before Arts of the Albemarle and long before I was there. And I don't know. I think part of it is just being in a small town made up of people from different parts of the country. You know, when people have lived in other places and experienced other things, they bring that with them. To be such a small town, I never really got like the, yeah, that won't fly here. It was like, yeah, let's try it, see what happens. And for the most part, it went really well. Right before I left, we had ended the first year ever in the black. And, you know, it's just, I was really proud. I was really proud of what we did there. I was able to bring a lot of really great music. You know, music's one of my main passions, and I loved being able to bring music that is usually not accessible to Northeast North Carolina without going an hour north to Norfolk or Virginia Beach. I really enjoyed being able to, you know, expose Elizabeth City to some really good entertainment.
Arts of the Albemarle resides in a beautiful historic building, renovated to accord with the vision of a particularly engaged artistic community. Like Katie said, the big question for this kind of community arts organization is how to sustain it. I asked Katie if public funding from the state or from Elizabeth City made up a part of Arts of the Albemarle's operating budget.
The organization was a line item in the city budget. I think in the amount of like, I think it was like $30,000. So, you know, thank God for that. Was it enough? No. But, you know, it was probably within the means of the city. The challenge was going into other counties that we served, because we were also the Arts Council for that part of the state and did school programming for the arts. And the problem was going before other counties and trying to get them to support the organization, and trying to constantly have that, you know, argument of why the arts are valuable and why they're worth the investment. We're lucky to be in North Carolina, where our state arts council is one of the strongest in the country. It's a model that's used by other states. They have a designated county partner in every single county in the state. They can ensure that that funding gets into every corner of the state, no matter how rural. And having lived in Northeast North Carolina, I mean, I'm really fortunate that I had that experience, especially before coming here, because, you know, like when we would have school shows and bring busloads of kids in from the area schools. I mean, for some of those kids, that's the only access they had to any kind of cultural experience. So, and without the state money that funded that, it would never happen.
There's one partner per county?
Every county has a partner. I mean, the ideal situation would be that every county has its own, but that's not the reality, because especially where I was, you know, some of those counties are so small. So like my organization, we were the designated county partner for four counties. Now here, you know, once you get into the Triangle area, you know, the Arts Commission's the one for Orange County, Durham Arts Council's for Durham, United Arts is Wake County. So it depends on the county. I think that there's 70 some total in the state. Don't quote me on that. But every county is represented, essentially.
I mean, I assume that and maybe this is not a good assumption, but the money that does come from the North Carolina Arts Council and is distributed to partners for programming in the counties Is that determined by population?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It is. It's based on a, well, so what they do when they find out what the whole pot is going to be for the grassroots arts program, which is the money we're talking about, they divide a percentage of that evenly across all 100 counties. And then they divide the remainder based on population. So it varies somewhat county to county. And then they look at the multicultural breakdown of your community. It's your responsibility as the designated county partner to make sure that you are spending that same percentage of your money on multicultural programming. You know, for instance, in Orange County, our non-white population is about 23-24%. So that means when our money comes in, 23-24% of that has to be spent essentially hiring non-white artists so that you can ensure that, you know, when you bring performers into schools, that the kids are seeing people that, you know, reflect their cultures. So it's important. And, you know, especially, again, back, you know, where I was, I mean, our percentage in Pasquotank was, I think, closer to 60%. So, you know, it's a good way of making sure that you are, you know, keeping the arts relevant to the population that you're serving.
Next time on the NC Arts Cast, we'll talk with Katie about her vision for Orange County's arts infrastructure. Thanks for listening.